Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And this is probably one of the first verses that any child will memorize when he starts memorizing more than just a piece of a scripture, when he starts memorizing entire verses. They're going to memorize this. And I mean, it will guide a child from childhood to adulthood, to senior adulthood, to glory. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about today. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Eventually, he shall direct thy paths. You know something? I don't know about you, but I think I know that ultimately you want God to direct your path. Ultimately. I mean, not like you're a robot. Not like you are a machine. But like you want to end up in the place that God wants you to be, in the center of His will, doing exactly what He wants you doing, and being pleased doing it. And the only way that I know that can happen is if the Lord will direct your path. That's what I want. I want the Lord, I want to be able to wake up in the morning and pray and read my Bible and have the Lord direct that day where even the circumstances of the day fall into place, so that you can see, and so I can see, the exact hand of God in the entire unfolding of the day, in the people that we meet to talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ, in the scheduling of the day so that things that need to be done get done, in the moving about in transportation so that we avoid the trouble, the wrecks, the car failures. I can't tell you how many times, because I can't recount, that I've had something that has gone wrong with the vehicle, but it happened in my driveway, or it happened at the office where I could get the vehicle into the shop. I mean, like a flat tire or a car that wouldn't start. And it was always something that was minor, so that it didn't take a huge expense of having to be towed. And thank God didn't happen out on a road in the middle of the night somewhere where there was a great deal of difficulty getting home or cause for concern on the part of my family. And I consider all those times blessings of the Lord where He was actually directing my path. And that's not to say that if you've ended up in a car wreck or something, that something went wrong with you and your relationship with the Lord. It's just that when you see over and over and over again God directing your path and intervening in your day so that things work out the way they're supposed to, when they're supposed to, man, that's a wonderful thing. I tell you what, I get spoiled when I see that, and thank God for it. I want to be spoiled when it comes to things like that. I'm glad for the Lord to direct my path. I can remember 20 years ago when the Lord caught up with me. I'd gotten saved when I was younger, but I wasn't living for the Lord. I told Him, I said, I am tired of running this life. I want to take my hands off the reins, and I want You to guide my life. And I'll tell you what, He does a far better job than I could ever hope to do. Now, when you get saved, you honestly have the confidence that God is going to lead you. And that's in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." All right, now I'm a son of God, because I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a son of God. All right, now as a son, you are entitled to expect God to lead you by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, those things go hand in hand. You can veer from the path. You can say, okay, I don't want to live the Christian life right now. I want to backslide. There are Christians that make a willful decision to just run, go do what they want to do for a period of time. You know what? They're not willingly going along with the direction the Holy Spirit has laid for them, but God is working circumstances in their lives that will turn them back to the road of righteousness. I've watched it happen many times. Oftentimes a teen will get saved and then stray a while and come back to the Lord, particularly by the time they're getting close to 30 years old or after they've gotten married and started having children. And they want to serve God. They're led by the Spirit of God. All right. He says in here, and he shall direct thy paths. Now listen, this verse here in Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's as if you are to willingly go along with his direction, you see. I mean, I realize you end up on the right road sometimes, but man, why go through all the misery when you can simply live for God and know that the Spirit of God is leading you as a son of God? Here's another verse of Scripture. Look in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And verse 23, Psalm 37, and look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now there you go. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Well, there's a perfect example. Here's a fellow that, I mean, we're going to just make, I realize we're in the Old Testament when we read Psalm 37, but let's make application to the New Testament. Here's a guy that gets saved and that he's got the righteousness of God in him because of what Jesus Christ has done for him. Now he's a good man. God's going to order his steps. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's going to order your steps, and he delighteth in his way. I mean, don't you like living for God better than you liked living for the devil? Man, I certainly do. In Psalm 73, verse 24, there's another verse of Scripture that goes along with this. And it says this, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Well, there's a man being guided by the Spirit of God. There's a man being whose steps are being ordered by God. There's a man being guided by the counsel of God. What a tremendous set of promises there. Guided by the counsel of God? Well, you know where to find that in the Scripture. And guided by the Spirit of God? You know where to find that? That's in Romans chapter 8. And then guided by the Lord himself. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Guided by the Lord. Wow, what promises those are. Now I want my steps ordered by the Lord. I want my steps directed by the Lord. I want my path directed by God. Don't you? Don't you? In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, we read a scripture that indicates that if we don't have our steps guided by the Lord, we're going to be in trouble. Why? Because look what the Bible says. Jeremiah 10, 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Oftentimes, the Christian life is just more than you could possibly even imagine how to live. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Well, if it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps, but you can be guided by the Spirit of God and guided by the Lord and guided by his counsel, then how much better to be directed by the paths of the Lord than to be in confusion the whole time, not knowing where you're going? There's a promise in the Bible. God will direct thy paths. You want to take him up on it? I do. Well, then there's three conditions. All right, the first condition, if you want the Lord to direct your path, is to trust him. All right, the first thing you got to do is trust him. And not only trust him, but you got to trust him with all thine heart. Which is not that easy to do. Trust him with all thine heart. That's not easy to do because you're going to find yourself oftentimes in situations where you don't want to trust him because you're afraid. You're afraid of the consequences. You'll find yourself in a situation sometimes where you don't want to trust him because where he takes you might lead you to a place that right now you don't want to go. Trust him with all thine heart. I remember listening to the sermon that E.V. Hill preached at his wife's funeral. He called her affectionately, called her baby. He led her to the Lord. He baptized her. And while she was laying in her hospital bed, she said, "You led me to Jesus and you baptized me. You'll preach my funeral." Man, he was distressed. And man, he was distraught because he didn't want to lose her. Who would? She was a wonderful woman. He found the chapel in the hospital, got on his knees before God, and God spoke to him in his heart and said, "Trust me. Trust me." Hill got up from that and he felt good because he was in his heart, he was believing that when God had spoken to him in his heart that he meant he was going to heal his wife. God didn't heal his wife. He went back down to have another meeting with the Lord. And he said to the EV, "Trust me." I mean, that is, trust me with her. You know, in other words, if you could trust me with her down here while she was in the earth, while she was with you, you can trust me with her now that she's going to leave this earth and spend her eternity with me. And you can trust me in your life. Oh, man, that's a dark, dark valley. You know, sometimes we realize that trusting God is going to take us into a dark valley like that. We don't want him. We don't want to trust him. We're scared. We're afraid. We're thinking he might lead us into something we don't want to do. When I told the Lord, "I'll trust you. I'll let you direct my path." I was still the president of a bank. I had a wife that wasn't saved. We were society people. As I began to read the Bible and pray, I began to realize that God was tugging on my heart to do more for him than I was doing. And I was glad to do it. And the more that I did for him, the more it was evident he was calling me to preach. And then it was absolutely clear that I would be leaving the banking business to go into the ministry. To take my family off out of state to go to a school. My wife was pregnant with our fourth child with no job awaiting me when I got to school, but a need for a job in order to be able to pay the bills to raise my family. We took off. We didn't know. We didn't know what was going to be involved. And we had to trust him through all of that. And that's a little spooky because, frankly, when you look back at the income and the prestige and all that that's associated with a good job, you know, it's more difficult at first to trust the Lord in the change, to leave that job, to go into the ministry and not have a church, not have a job, not knowing how things were going to go after 3 years of school. But we did. We had to trust him. Let me tell you something. I look back on those days now, so many years ago, and I thank God that he directed my steps when we trusted him. We had to. We had to. I'm thank God because I'm glad we ended up where we ended up. I'm glad we're doing what we're doing now. I'm so thankful to the Lord for what he's done. I couldn't see this on the horizon. I didn't know this is where it was going to lead. We pastored for a while and left a church to start another church. That was a dark time, an uncertain time. And yet, at the same time, we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in that because really, we found ourselves in a situation where we didn't really have any choice. We had to trust him. And you know what? He directed our paths, and we couldn't be happier. We couldn't be happier. We're in a church that's concerned about souls. We're in a church that's concerned for each other and prays. We're in a church that's concerned about missions and gives bountifully toward that cause and wants to give more. In a church that's built a building and paid for it. In a church where the folks want to work. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. I thank God that we trusted him. Have we trusted him all along in all our heart? Oh, there's days, just like you have, that we don't trust him with all our heart. I mean, the command in the Old Testament was, "Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind." That can be hard to do. Because other things intervene, other things get in the head, and you think, can I really trust the Lord with all my heart? You have to. I have to. That is, if you want God to direct your path, you're going to have to trust Him. And sometimes that means He's going to take you out to the edge of a cliff and leave you there like you think you're fixing to fall. He never leaves you, I understand that. But that's the feeling you get sometimes. That you're out there just on the edge. But He's there. He's in control. He knows how to make it work. Hey, Jesus Christ had to trust Him with all his heart when God took him to the cross. Paul had to trust Him when God said, I'm going to take you in there and I'm going to let you suffer. Paul had to trust Him with a thorn in his flesh. And he did. And after Paul found what it was like to receive the grace that came with enduring the thorn in the flesh, he said, man, I'll take this thorn. I'll take this thorn any day of the week. Because that has resulted in a grace that is worth the infirmity. It's worth the reproach, is worth the distress, is worth the necessity. And Paul would have never gotten there if he hadn't trusted the Lord. Listen, when you go into surgery, you go to sleep, and you trust your life to the doctor. You wake up from the surgery, and things get better, and you're glad you did. But you got to trust Him. All right? Here's the second thing. If you want God to direct your path, like He said He would, by the Holy Spirit, by His counsel, by Himself, and you don't want to leave directing the path to yourself, which has already gotten you in a train wreck, then the second thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, this is difficult. Because, you see, practically speaking, you've been given a mind. And it's a good mind, I think. By that, I realize it can stir up wicked imaginations and creates all kinds of reasons to get you into sin and all that. I don't mean that. I mean, when I say a good mind, a mind that can understand things and reason things. That's logical and rational and that will allow you to accumulate some knowledge and then work with that knowledge to do things. And oftentimes you're going to trust your own understanding when that's the wrong thing to do. You're going to want to lean to your own understanding because you've been in situations like you're in now and you think, I know how to get myself through this situation. I've been here before. And what it takes, it's a precarious balance between common sense and trusting the Lord. He says, lean not to thine own understanding. I'll tell you where this gets people into trouble. In scholarship, it's a real problem. Because in scholarship, what happens is a man learns languages and he learns Bible criticism and then he gets an understanding that in his own mind is superior to the words of God. And if he gets there and has an understanding that is superior to the words of God, he won't let the words of God direct him. He'll let his understanding direct him. He'll be guided by what he knows and not by faith. That's a difficult place. Because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, you can see the difficulty because you're not stupid. Thank God. I hope you're not. Your spouse may think you are, but you hope you're not. You can reason and you've got an idea about things like that. Listen, these days with our education system and with our understanding that we have received from living, many times we will abandon God and go out willy-nilly in our own thoughts about the coming situations. And man, I'm telling you, you are in thin ice when you do that. Thin ice. We have to sometimes look at a situation and say, I know this doesn't make any sense, but this is the right thing for me to do. I'll give you an example. I've got a missionary friend of mine and he's doing missionary work in China and in the Philippines, and traveling around the country, raising up support for his ministry. He was preaching in a church out on the West Coast, and he mentioned a particular project that he was working on that was going to take about $25,000, and it involved building a building or something like that to house college students so that he could train them in the ministry. I believe that was the specific thing he was working on then, probably in the Philippines. And he simply mentioned the need to the church. The church was small. They didn't have enough money to raise $500 for a love offering. But he wanted to mention it to him anyway. He felt compelled to do that, to let him know what he was doing. And after the service, a husband and wife came up to him and said, "Look, I know this doesn't make any sense." I think the guy was a truck driver. He said, "You know, it's hard for us. I can't drive like this till I die. And it's hard for us to save up the money we need to for a retirement. But we've started." And he said, "Right now we got $25,000 in the bank that we've saved up toward our retirement. And I know this doesn't make any sense at all, but my wife and I have visited. I talked to her about your particular plan. And I tell you, it is just all over me to give you that money. And I talked with my wife. She knows how hard we've worked to save up that money for our retirement. But it's all over her to give you that money. And it doesn't make any sense to us at all why God would call upon us to do something like that. But we know that God wants us. He's directing our paths. He wants us to build that for you, to give you that money." And so sure enough, the next day, which was a Monday, they went and closed that retirement account. And they wrote him a check for that money, and he went down there to the Philippines, I believe is where the thing was, and built that building. Now, let me tell you something. Many souls have been saved as a result of the men that have been trained as a result of that gift. There's no question. That driver's still driving. Who knows? The Lord may come back before that man ever sees retirement. He did what God... It doesn't make any sense. If he were to have leaned unto his own understanding, he would have never given that money. But he had to abandon that. He had to trust the Lord, and the Lord was directing his path. And in eternity, when it's all said and done, that man and that woman are going to face the Lord Jesus Christ, and that gift will have accomplished so much for the Lord's work. It will far outshine any retirement he would hope to have needed. And I can assure you, I just know God, that when that man has an opportunity before he dies to reap the benefits of that retirement, whatever they may be, God will take care of him better than he could have taken care of himself with the money that was in that retirement. You say, "How's God going to do it?" None of our problem. God's got a plan that's better than ours. So lean not to thine own understanding. All right, here's the next one. That's two. There's one more. If you want the Lord to direct your path, trust him with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And then this one, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That can be hard, because sometimes your ways are going to lead you places, again, that you don't want to be. What this means to you, what this means to me, is that we recognize fully God's hand and God's leading in all aspects of our lives, in your successes, in your failures, in your joy, in your sorrow, in your reproach, when you raise up an adversary, in the blessings you receive, in the bereavement that you endure, in anything that you attain, in anything that you accomplish for the Lord, God is there. You acknowledge him. I've had the opportunity to preach a lot of funerals, and I'll go there and talk to the family, and we'll try to give them some comfort and things like that. And they'll invariably say, "Well, God knows best. God knows best. We're trusting God. We don't understand why this happened," particularly when it's somebody that's young, "but we acknowledge God. God knows better than us. This is okay. If this is what God wants, that's fine with me." I remember one lady was grieving over the loss of her child. Didn't know what to do, praying out to God, so distraught, so distressed. And again, as it was as if God himself were comforting this woman, and again, not in an audible voice, but just in the recesses of her heart, she just knew this comforting presence of God and got to this great place of peace. And where she got was this. It was as if God was saying to her, you've enjoyed him these first years of his life, and now I'm ready to enjoy him. She couldn't argue with that. Her son had given her a great deal of pleasure for the whatever he lived up to his teen years, up to his early 20s, given her a great deal of pleasure up to that point. And so she was satisfied. God, I'll acknowledge you. If you were ready for him to be with you so that y'all could enjoy each other like I've been able to enjoy him while he was down here with me, then okay, that's fine with me. I'll go along with that. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Like when Gideon was to take 300 men against the Midianites. Like when David was to fight Goliath. And David said, you know what, Goliath, you're not going to win because you're fighting with a shield and a spear. I'm fighting in the name of the Lord God. Like when Jesus Christ had to go to the cross and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You know how it goes, like when Paul said, okay, I'll serve you. It's better than serving these men that I've been serving while I'm killing Christians. And if that means getting a beating wherever I go, I'll take the beating. It's better than serving the devil. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It can be scary, but let me tell you something. If you want to end up in the perfect will of God, then you're going to have to present yourself to the Lord by trusting him, by not leaning to your own understanding when what he's asking you to do doesn't seem to make sense, and by not fretting, but acknowledge him in all thy ways. And you know what? He will direct your paths. And when you're through with this life and look back on it from heaven's perspective, you'll say, you know what? It was worth it all. It was absolutely worth it all. And may God bless you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. Hallelujah.